Who woke up this morning looking forward to coming to church? I am glad some of you guys raised your hand. I was worried that no one would raise their hand. Awesome. How about the rest of you guys? Were you just too shy to raise your hand?
I raised my hand before I should.
What's that? Okay, so you're still sleeping. Oh, you haven't slept.
No.
Wow. Awesome.
Amen. There you go.
So when was your last morning?
Oh.
Saturday morning? Wow. Well, you get some rest today, Dale. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, good to have you here this morning, Dale. Yeah. I don't know if any of you guys can relate to me, but there was a time in my life where going to church wasn't the most exciting. It was more of a chore for me. Anybody else had this kind of season in their life? See a few hands going up, yeah. I think we can all be honest with ourselves, and we've probably had this season in our life. Often there was times when I'd rather stay in bed. You know, it's just so comfy to be in those blankets, especially when it's raining out, kind of cold. You just want to stay in bed and not get up. Have that lazy Sunday morning, right? There were times when church didn't excite me. I felt that it was boring. There were times in my life when going to church would take a back seat next to anything else that was happening Sunday or Sunday morning. And we've all had these kind of times in our life. Perhaps you're still going through one this morning, and you can relate to these. But it's different now. I'm excited for it. I enjoy coming to church. I'm thrilled to come and worship my Lord and Savior, my God. I'm thrilled to come here, see you guys, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Why is it? Why am I now excited to come to church after maybe years, you could say years, of not? Has the church changed? Perhaps a little. Is it because the church has done something to entice me now? Is it because church is so entertaining? No, it's not the church that has changed. Or that the leadership has changed something to be of my liking. No, it's because my heart's changed. My heart's changed. My heart's attitude has changed. My focus has changed from myself to Him, Jesus Christ. My Lord, my God, my Savior. The Lord has spoken to me over the years through people, through His Word, through His Holy Spirit, on how vital it is of having a healthy attitude about church and going to church. Because you see, each one of our attitudes, our hearts, affects the church. Why is that? Why is that? Because the church isn't a building. It's us. It's us. It's you. It's me. You and I guess that's proper English. All of us together that form this church community in Jesus Christ. Together. Together we are a people who value people and families from all cultures and ages. Together we are a people who value gospel-centered life. Together we are people who value love that is rooted in Jesus Christ. Together, we are a people who value generosity and giving and volunteering. Together, we are a people who value empowering and equipping to grow in knowledge and character. And together, we are a people who value a flourishing community. Our church values, we've been going through these on our Sunday mornings, and this morning I'm going to skip number 5, and we're going to 6, because I felt it went so well with celebrating communion table this morning. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 5. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I love the analogy that we can draw from this with Lego. And I have a picture up next there. In a similar way that Lego fits together block by block to build a building or house, or in this case, a church, the same way God tells us that we're like living blocks fitting together to build a spiritual house. Now, what would a Lego building look with blocks missing? Incomplete, right? It wouldn't look too good. It wouldn't be as strong either as if all the blocks were there to form it. It'd be weakened. Friends, this is a similar way it works for us as living blocks or living stones that are built up as a spiritual house. Do I still have you guys? All right. Me too. If you're part of this church or a church and you don't attend regularly, then easily your church can begin to look like it's unfinished. Your presence at church is more important than you may realize. Have you thought about that? Especially in a church like ours. That's a small church. Did you know that just your presence here is a blessing to one another? Just your presence being here, it's a blessing to me. It's a blessing to Jim. To Crystal, good to see you here this morning. Your presence here is a blessing to everyone else here. It encourages all of us because the church is whole when we all come together. When you're not here, you're missed. You are missed when you're not here. Did you know that? When you are here, you are a blessing to that new person who walks in into church for the first time. When you are here, you're a blessing to that person sitting right next to you this morning. Because we need each other in order to stand as a spiritual house of God. You cannot build a house from only a handful of blocks, right? It requires all of us. Every single one of us is essential. God has made us all living into living stones when we come together. That is where 1920 Church is. It takes all of us together to build this church in Jesus Christ. And each one of our attitudes towards the church affects one another. Because in reality, that's the attitude we have toward one another, right? Because a church isn't a building or an institution, but the church is us, a community of believers. in Jesus Christ. And it takes all of us to build the church. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22 says, "So now you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him you are also being made part of His dwelling, where God lives by His Spirit." Do I hear an amen? Wow, what a beautiful piece of scripture. Yes, Jesus is the head of the church. He is the cornerstone, the foundation of the church that it's built upon. But together, we make up the house, God's holy people. We're carefully joined together in Him to become a holy temple of the Lord. Wow, what a privilege. That's amazing. We're all part of the dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. This speaks of an amazing unity between us and God. And this speaks of amazing union between us because of Jesus Christ. We are members of God's family because of Jesus Christ. Amen? We're valuable. So valuable that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shed His blood upon the cross, dying upon the cross to purchase us as His own. Now that we've established that we're blocks that build up a church, what then? Do we just sit here like cinder blocks stacked up upon each other? Yawning? Sorry to pick on you. No, because we're not dead blocks. We're what? Living stones. Living stones. And this implies what? We grow. We move. There's life. Movement, action, growth. It flourishes. You see where I'm going? Value number 6, flourishing community of believers. Carefully joined together, yes. Not just, yeah. Preach it, Jim. All right. Peter writes that not only were we made into living stones to be built up into a spiritual house, but also a holy priesthood that offers spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see, church, Jesus gave His very life so that we can be made into His church. That's how important the church is to Jesus. He paid for it by His blood. He paid for it by His life. He died on the cross so our sins can be forgiven, so that we can be washed white as snow, so that we can be blameless and holy because of Him, that we can receive salvation and right standing before our Heavenly Father, God the Father, and be made into God's family. not because of anything we have done, but because of what Jesus has done. And it's because of Jesus that we are, through his grace and mercy, his church. It's through Jesus that we're made into saints, his holy priesthood. I used to think that it was only apostles or prophets that could be called saints or the holy priesthood. But in fact, it's anyone who's been washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every true believer is made into a saint and is part of the holy priesthood. It's amazing. Nothing short of a miracle. In fact, it's the greatest miracle on earth. Salvation. And as a saint and part of the holy priesthood, we have a what? A duty. Just as priests has duties, we also have duties. And what duty is that? Give ourselves up as living sacrifices, as holy and pleasing to God through Christ Jesus. To offer spiritual sacrifice, a spiritual sacrifice. So what does it mean to offer spiritual sacrifices to God? Well, the Bible tells us, right? Romans 12, chapters 1 and 2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will." Often when we think of the word sacrifice, we think of it as a negative thing. Right? It's often associated with death, something gruesome. In the Old Testament, unblemished lambs were sacrificed for the sins of the people. In the New Testament, the Holy Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself, was sacrificed for our sins. But in this scripture, it's brought to light of what our sacrifice is. To offer ourselves as living sacrifices to him. This is talking about a new life in Jesus Christ. The word bodies here refers to Christians as a whole person, both body, mind, and soul, belonging to God. Meaning that we now offer our whole life to God in service to him. Because he is our Lord, our Savior, our God. And this is holy and pleasing to God, and it's our proper response of worship to him for what he has done for us in sacrificing his son, Jesus Christ, upon the cross. So think about it. Every morning when you get up, offer your body as a living sacrifice. What are we sacrificing? We're sacrificing our plans, our desires, our will. What we're saying is, Lord, here's my life. Let your will be done in my life and not my own will. And boy, what a load of pressure is taken off of us. Think about it. Knowing that we are walking in his good and perfect will for our lives. And we are told that this is a true and proper worship. I used to think of this as a negative thing in my life, that, you know, all the fun things and desires of my heart are going to go out the door, and now I got to be a stern follower of God and you know, obey all these rules and that. But the reality is, God is your creator. He knows the deepest desires of your heart. He knows you better than you know yourself. And his will for your life will bring you fulfillment beyond what you could imagine for yourself according to your own plans. Does that make sense? So what is worship? Worship is offering ourselves up as living sacrifices to God and finding our significance, our purpose, our identity in Jesus Christ. And as we do that, it's Jesus living in us and through us. So a living sacrifice means that we are sacrificing ourselves, our own plans, our own desires, and we ask Christ to live in and through us and direct our lives. And what he does is he takes those plans, those desires, what we have, and he makes them even better in ways that we were never even able to think about or see. He makes them clear. He gives us direction. He gives us purpose. He helps us understand who we are, why we're here, what's the purpose of life. And that's when we begin to understand what God's perfect will is, when we allow him to do that. Essentially, our worship is our life. Everything we do unto him in worship. Getting back to 1 Peter 2, 5, through Jesus Christ we are made into living stones that are built up to be a spiritual house, his holy priesthood. And as his spiritual house and priesthood together, we offer our lives to him and to serve him. And it's in his will that we not only serve him, but we serve each other, the church. The Bible talks about the church as a body of believers. And like a body is made up of different parts or members, a church is as well. Make sense? The part of our spiritual act of worship is to be part of the church body and serve one another there. We're going to go back into Romans 12, verses 3 to 8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. So be humble, not prideful. In accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. It is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Paul is writing the church in Rome that it is time to take all the different gifts God had given them and to use them to serve each other and the church. And what was happening is that there were people there who were thinking that, well, you should serve me. Or that I'm in the stage of life where I shouldn't be serving, but I should be served. But Paul is telling that we should be using our gifts to serve in the local body of church, to serve God and serve one another. What we need to understand is that God has created each and every one of us to come together in this body to serve each other with the gifts he's given us through his grace. And that's the cool part. God has actually given us the gifts to serve one another with. Every one of the gifts we serve with is a gift from God by his mercy and grace. And not one gift is better than the other. Got that? I believe that all too often we tend to have this consumerism Christian mentality. You know what I'm talking about? We start to focus on, okay, what am I getting from this church? Which of my needs are being met? Where I put in my time, now I'm here to soak. Or in other words, to be a bench warmer. But that's not the right way of doing church. Yes, it is important that we're taught God's word at church. Yes, it is important that we are fed spiritually at church. Yes, it is important that we grow at church. But you know what? That doesn't mean we just sit here, do that by just sitting here being bench warmers. That doesn't happen by just consuming and consuming and consuming. We learn by not only hearing, but also doing. We are fed only by eating. Eating requires action, right? Right? You chew, you move, you lift it into your mouth. You know, there's action. Kind of like duty. Just trying to make some analogies here. We grow by moving, by being challenged, by being stretched. It's not just about receiving, but also about giving. It's about serving. It's about teamwork. Working in unity in Christ. It's funny when you get people coming up to you and complaining something about the church or a need in the church, and then they just walk away without realizing that, hey, perhaps I could be part of resolving this need in the church. Right? What was that? The amount of times you get that on the street, I'm sure, yeah. Yeah. I want to tell you this morning that in order for this church to grow, in order for this church to thrive, in order for this church to fulfill God's purpose, in order for this church to be a flourishing community, we need to work together. We need to seek for the purpose and the vision that God has given us as 1920 Church, His church. And we need to work as a team to fulfill that vision and purpose. This is why we have church values. And we need to make sure we're true to these values. I know that God has called us to be a church that loves our neighbors, right? Amen. To help the needy, to love the unlovable, to reach the hurting and the lost. And I'm so proud to see that reflected in all of your hearts. It's awesome. Pentecost Sunday is approaching when? Anyone? Yes, which is next Sunday, June 9th, Pentecost Sunday, right? We're a Pentecostal church. If you forgot, no problem. It's an important time for us to reflect on what the Holy Spirit means in our everyday life, what it means to us as His church. As living stones, empowered by the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Think about how your life is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Give it a moment. Just want you to close your eyes. Think about, how is my life empowered by the Holy Spirit? Think about, what kind of evidence of the fruits of the Spirit do you see in your life? I want to ask you, Is there people here who want to see more empowerment of the Holy Spirit upon their lives? Amen. Is there people here who wants to see more of the fruit of the Spirit in their life? Amen. Pray about it. Pray about it. Ask God for more empowerment of His Holy Spirit upon your life. Ask God for more, to be able to bear more of the fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life. Pray for our church. Pray for our church. Pray for our community. Pray for the church community in Vancouver, in Canada. For the Holy Spirit to move amongst us, to empower us, to anoint us. The church was born on Pentecost when Peter preached the gospel. In Acts 1:41 it says, "Those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Let's follow in that same manner, to preach the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, to see people saved, to see the lost saved, and devoting ourselves to the teaching of His word. Spending time together, breaking bread, and being in prayer as His church, His community. Keep praying for our church, for one another, for God to birth dream and vision in you regarding 1920 Church. Guys, I don't know about you, but I believe God has wonderful plans for our church. He has been faithful through so many years. When I look around this room seeing you guys and the faithfulness of God in your lives, the testimony to that of how great and wonderful He is. And He has more in store for His church. He wants to see us being a flourishing church of true believers. But it's going to take all of us together by the empowerment of His Holy Spirit to see those plans come to fruition. I love this idea of how we're living stones built up together in Christ as a cornerstone. Keep that in your minds next Sunday when you're comfy in bed and you don't want to come to church. That, hey, you're a living stone, part of His church. And you are missed when you're not here. You have a place here, a purpose, giftings to serve Him and one another. And you're precious to God so much that His Son shed His blood upon the cross, dying to purchase you with His life. It's not a cheap price that was paid for you, that was paid for His church. Jesus Christ took your place upon the cross, suffering and dying for your sins. And it's through the work of the cross that we're forgiven. And it's because Christ was raised back to life, His resurrection is our hope, our promise of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And that is why we have the communion table. That is why we're coming together this morning to take part as his body of believers around the Lord's Supper. Tony, Hank, can I ask you guys to come forward here and help out with distributing the bread and the cup this morning? And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23. And then can I ask you guys to bless the table? Awesome. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." Amen.